I'm Stephen John Drew from the official GunnaGeek.com show, a weekly geek news podcast that is a part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other awesome geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
I am the Green Arrow.
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to Earth 2's favorite newspaper. We call it the Starling Tribune. I am the chief editor tonight. My name is SP, and your other award-winning reporters for this episode 224 of the Starling Tribune are Chris.
Shut the front door.
Exactly. That is exactly what you say. Shut the front door. And Michelle.
What in the Disney hell is this?
Ooh, we got some things to talk about with that. We were just talking about it before we went live on the show. Hey, this podcast is recorded on Thursday, January 17th, 2019, live on Geeks.live.
That's right, SP. And this evening, we'll be discussing Legends of Tomorrow, as well as news, interviews, articles, and announcements that have dropped in the past week that could and probably will impact future episodes of Legends of Tomorrow, as well as the greater universe that includes The Flash, Supergirl, Arrow, Vixen, Constantine, and any other animated series or live-action series I decide to toss in.
If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. After the show, you can check out our content at GunnaGeek.com, where you can also find other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles.
Thanks, guys, for all that great information. Michelle, it's been 2 weeks, and I'm just excited to get into this episode. So why don't you go ahead and break down what we watched this week?
Yes, this is Legends of Tomorrow, Season 4, Episode 2, Witch Hunt. It originally aired Monday, October 29, 2018. It's directed by Kevin Mock. Credits include 4 episodes of Legends, 1 Flash, and 1 Chuck. Written by Kido Shimizu. Credits include 11 Legends, 11 Arrow, and 1 Flash. And Matthew Mala. Credits include 9 Legends.
Have some experience on board with the creative team this episode. So every week we go over the ratings for the week of the CW shows that were shown that week. This week we have to go all the way back to the end of October of 2018, and we'll be discussing the live plus 7-day numbers or the live plus DVR numbers. So these might be different from the ones that you heard from the beginning of the Arrow 7th season, but we just want to make sure that we are talking about the live plus 7-day numbers for the show, and that was just the live numbers when we were talking about Arrow Season 7, Episode 3. So we'll start on Sunday, October 28th, with Supergirl, who had their third episode of the fourth season titled Man of Steel, to a total rating of 2.21, which, as we discussed at the time, was probably pretty good for a Sunday evening in the fall. Monday, the 29th of October, Arrow aired this third episode of the seventh season titled Crossing Lines, to a total rating of 2.04. Following Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, this episode that we're talking about tonight aired the second episode of the fourth season, Witch Hunt, to a total rating of 1.82. And then the following day, on Tuesday, the 30th of October, Flash aired the fourth episode of the fifth season titled News Flash, to a total rating of 3.14, winning the week for the CW shows. And then following the Flash, Black Lightning aired the fourth episode of the second season titled Translucent Freak, to a total rating of 1.74. Guys, it's always good actually seeing the 7-day ratings because they look so much better than the live ratings.
Especially for Arrow. I mean, think how dire things looked in some of the live ratings, especially last year, and now you've got a over 2. That's good news compared to what we were looking at last year.
All right, so that wraps up our ratings talk, and we're just going to get into the theme of the episode, which we usually attribute to the title of the episode. I mean, the producers make it easy for us. They title the episode, and that's generally the theme. So, Michelle, what do you got for us this week?
Well, this is called Witch Hunt, and there's the obvious meaning of going to the Salem witch trials. and you've got a woman accused of being a witch. Then you have the magical fugitive, which is a fairy godmother who was full of magic. And you could also perhaps say she's a witch. And that is who our team is hunting. And I have to admit, when I first watched this episode and they're at the witch trials, and I'm like, wow, I wonder what magical creature this could be. I was not expecting a bibbidi bobbidi boo fairy godmother with wand and the blue dress and everything that goes with it. What about you, SP?
As Sarah says, it's Disney hell. What in the Disney hell is this? Straight out of Cinderella, Snow White, whatever you want to call it. And the actor that does this, her name is Jane Carr. She's a character actor. She doesn't specialize in fairy godmother, but she did it so well. It was like the part in the original Disney movies was just designed for her. And she's a really talented actor. She's been in TV really since 1967. She's a British actor. She came over to the United States in 1986, and she's been in some amazing stuff, everything from Friends to Gilmore Girls to Star Trek Enterprise and The Fairly Odd Parents, Phineas and Ferb. So my hat is off to Legends of Tomorrow for finding somebody like her to play this role and really bring it alive to us, because it did take me right back to Cinderella. She even made a comment about the glass slipper. I mean, who wears glass slippers anyway, right? They just give you blisters.
I wear them all the time. Everyone loves them. They say they're quite fashionable on me, in fact, with my giant feet.
I bet.
How do you not break them?
Well, industrial strength glass.
Oh, so it's like transparent aluminum?
Ooh, nice pull. Yes, it is. Mr. Scott invented it for me.
I bet. Well, at first, when we go, Jane Hawthorne is accused of witchcraft, and then there's ravens, and then we realize that it's Prudence. The fairy godmother needs a host, and Jane's daughter, Prudence, is the one providing that role. And eventually, the team brings Prudence on the ship. Chris, what did you think when they did that?
So you're playing a little fast and loose with the fact you're on a super advanced ship from the future and you're bringing someone from the past to go and hang out on it. Plus, you know, it's kind of a security threat of some kind if something happens. But where else are you going to take her that's safe? It's kind of a double-edged sword. I don't know that I would have brought her to the ship if you wanted her on a ship. Fly the jump ship out somewhere and have her hang out in that with one of the legends. But you got to be a little more careful with the Wave Rider. You think you'd have learned that over the years, that when you bring people on board, bad things happen.
They can always flashy thing her, though, right?
That's what I was wondering, if she got flashied at the end, but they told her to go somewhere safe with her mom, and she seemed to still remember Sarah and Zari. I guess that's the really big question. Did they end up flashing Prudence or not?
My assumption was no, because in the past, they've generally been pretty explicit with either flashing someone or telling us they were flashed, and no mention of it here. And have we even seen the flashy thing since last season? I don't think we have.
Gosh, I remember seeing it recently, but I don't know if it was one of the more recent episodes or if we went back to the beginning, because I remember Rory was playing around with it a little bit.
But thanks to Prudence being on the Wave Rider, we learned that there's a game called Bebo Blocks. And now I want that game.
Yes, please start selling that on a website, be it the CW's website or a Legends of Tomorrow specific one. I want them immediately.
Block spelled B-L-O-X, by the way. That was awesome. It was fun. Bebo is always fun, and I'm glad Bebo continues to be alive within the Arrowverse.
It's one of the best things from last season. We learned a lot about Zari in this episode, especially that she doesn't realize how much anger she still has about her situation. And that scene where she is trying to help and she's actually using her powers to suffocate people, like drawing out their air, that was intense.
It was a real cool application of the powers too.
True, but dangerous. Very dangerous, because she was basically out of control at the time. And then she went into reverse mode of, oh my gosh, I can't believe I almost did this. And then she allowed herself to be captured and her pendant to be taken away from her. And she was powerless from that point on. And I think she almost gave up at that point. Like, she had done something so horrible that she was ashamed of herself and didn't think that she deserved to continue on. And I'm glad they solved that by the end of the episode. But you're right. She has some deep-seated issues. And I don't think this episode fully took care of everything. I think we're going to see some more of that in the future. Remember, this is on the tails of the last episode where she was seeing herself on the, what I call the Terminator swing set, because she went back in time looking at herself being swung back and forth with her mom. And she is still thinking in terms of that, that the future sucks. Not sure if we talked about this before or not. I do remember talking about it. I think that this season of Legends of Tomorrow is going to fix that future for her, so she doesn't have that in the future. But then they got to deal with the whole brother coming back and stuff. I don't know how they're going to play it off, but I just don't see her, especially fixing everything that she has in the past, not being able to fix her future.
Yeah, that's always the rub. I understand why she got angry, why this like sparked it, because the Salem witch trials was all about being afraid of things you don't understand and just randomly accusing people either like you don't like, or they're just doing something you think is odd and out of the ordinary. And unfortunately, in her future, that's what she's experiencing, that, you know, her religion is outlawed and everything is just so, it's basically a police state. And it was like, you know, last year they fixed Maya's situation, but they ended up breaking things because now we have magical fugitives. SP, since you brought this up, how do you think they could fix her future without breaking the universe?
That is a great question, because if they do fix it, they are going to sacrifice something. And that could be the lead-in for the next season, if they get a next season. With the ratings the way they are, I always scratch my head over that. Of course, we just described the Live Plus 7-day ratings, and they seem good enough to continue, especially being on a secondary network with a reduced... I mean, it's not primetime TV where they get, I don't know, $6 to $10 million an episode. They get, I think, about $2 million per episode to make something like this. At least that's what the Arrowverse business model was when it started off 7 years ago. So if that's true, they could probably continue on, and you have to reinvent the show in order to make it to the next season. So it could be something like that. I'm thinking whatever they go into next season, it's because they fixed this whole Constantine thing, because Constantine wasn't fixed by the mid-season finale. So I'm thinking we'll have to do that by the end of this season. So maybe it's a next season thing that they lead into whatever is going on, like is a future issue, and they have to go try to solve that. And then by solving that, they kind of fix Zari's future. I don't know. This is timey-wimey stuff and makes you scratch your head. And this show isn't supposed to be a head scratcher. It's just supposed to be a fun show. And the big thing for this year, aside from Constantine, is the whole Nora and Adam relationship too. I think that's what their concentration is going to be, but they can't leave out the secondary characters. They're going to bring Zari in. They're going to bring Mick in. They're going to bring Nate in. And boy, do I miss Nate splaining.
I don't know how they would go and fix Zari's future or her present, which is their future, without breaking everything they've done before, because it sounds terrible to say, but you kind of need her to be in that position so that she would go with the Legends to take the actions that were undertaken last season to defeat Mollus. And if you change that, put her in a happier place, or fix everything with her family there, does it still put her in the same position where she A, has the totem, and B, is willing to come with the Legends? You potentially break everything you fixed. And that's one of those weird conundrums with time travel. They touch on it like Star Trek at different times and things like that. But if they fix it, they potentially break things and make it much worse.
Yeah, speaking of broken things, Constantine does join the team. And then we have that great sort of like, Constantine's like, I don't do costumes or anything like that, and I'm not going to go on your mission. And Roy's like, well, if he's not going, I'm not going. Chris, Roy is your favorite. What did you think of their interaction?
I love it. Those two play off each other well, the actors. So I want to see more of it. I want to see more of this odd couple dynamic that's coming into play.
They don't like to share space, either one of them.
No, not at all.
No, Mick is just completely wondering what Constantine is doing there. He thinks that there's something else deeper behind there. And we know that there is. It's the whole reason Constantine is on the ship to begin with. And he hasn't told anybody yet. And Mick's onto him. He doesn't know exactly what it is. And it just makes for an interesting dynamic because there are two alpha males living in this place with one bathroom, one washer dryer. And we'll see what happens in the future. I mean, the whole confusion over football and football, that was funny.
The thing that kills me on that still to this day is they only have one washer and dryer on the Wave Rider.
One bathroom. Come on.
And one bathroom, that too. Both those things, I kind of go, you've got a ship that can magically make you just about anything you want. Why don't you put some more plumbing in?
The time drive is such a delicate thing. It needs most of the space on the ship.
I suppose.
I thought it was interesting that once they get Prudence to break her tie with the fairy godmother, we learn some more about Constantine and the trouble he's in, because he tries to make a little side deal, and her reaction was, I would rather go back than have him be angry at me.
We'll see in the future if that's really true or not. I'm thinking that she, just by watching this episode, I'm thinking that she just didn't want to deal with it. She's not the person to help other people. So it was more of a mentality for her than gift or an ability thing, because I think the two of them together could have possibly taken on this threat to Constantine, and she just didn't want to have anything to do with it. And then Constantine sent her to the hell at the end, and I could completely see that. Look, if you're not going to help me, then we need to get you out of here because you messed stuff up along the way anyway. So I'm fine with what happened to her at the end. The first time I watched it, though, I was like, dang, son, that is cold. But she's cold, too. Look at all the things that she's done throughout the years to her hosts. So I think Constantine was justified.
I think that she realizes that he's to a level of screwed that none of us understand, and she doesn't want to be associated with it as part of it. And on top of what you mentioned about it really not being in her interest to help. But I think it's meant to give us a glimpse of Constantine's in real trouble here.
One of the things that the godmother does is turn Mick and Ray into pigs. And this comes into play with our B story, which is Nate. The reason why we don't have any Nate splaining this episode is because he's trying to build a relationship with his father. And he's living at the Time Bureau because being a legend doesn't exactly come with a paycheck, does it, SP?
No, we find out that it does not. And I was thinking that they were employed by the Time Bureau, but they're not. They're just kind of reined in by the Time Bureau, and they're allowed to do whatever they need to do. And I guess all their resources are actually on the ship, which does lead me into a question. Like, if they go into an era like 2016, 2018, 2019, and they have to buy something, I mean, they have to have an active credit card at that point in time. So I'm just kind of wondering how Gideon makes that possible. Does she hack the banking systems of any era that she goes to, and that they can have a temporary credit card and buy stuff? Is that how it works, or do they just never buy things?
They replicate everything. I have no idea. It's magic. It's technology and magic.
I thought it was so funny that Nate was like, I will go in there, Ava. I will do that presentation, until he sees that Ava needs to get the money from his dad. And the night before, he told his dad that he didn't need his money. So I thought that was really funny.
Was, especially since Gary was there. Let's give him the old ham and eggs. What are you talking about, Gary?
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Gary's solution to the whole thing, by the way, was to expose his lacking nipple and say, a unicorn ate my nipple. And the response was great. Put it away. So Oh, the whole nipple thing just doesn't get old, but
it never does.
That obviously doesn't help because Nate's dad is like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. Nope, we're done here. Everybody go home. And they're finally able to convince him. And it's interesting why we can't get into it in this episode, but apparently he's just shocked to the point where Ray was a pig, Babe, by the way, from the movie Babe. And then he becomes a naked guy right in front of him. So that's how he's able to save the Time Bureau. We know there's more to it, but at least that's what the surprise ending is for this one. I think that was really fun. And it gave us some more looks into Tom Wilson, who plays a great Nate's dad.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. It's such, and he's, their dynamic is so fun.
Yeah, it was, yeah, that was hilarious where you got a naked Ray and then Nate steeled up and he's like, oh yeah, I'm a superhero too. He was just like, how much do you need? And Ava's like, 4.2 billion.
It's kind of a drop in the bucket when you think about it. That's pretty good for an operating budget on a bureau that travels through time and fixes things.
Need it every year though.
It's true.
How does that compare to a NASA budget?
Planetary.org, as per Google, says that in 2017, NASA's total request was $19.1 billion.
And in 18, it was $20 billion.
Yeah, 20.7, I think it was, something like that.
Yeah, so it's a quarter of NASA's budget.
Oh, well, this is time travel. That's a bargain.
I know, right?
Well, Chris, is there anything else about the episode you want to talk about?
I cannot think of anything. I'm good, I think.
SP?
It was a fun episode. It was a heartwarming episode because you got to save the mom in the end. So that was good. And of course, going after Puritans is, you know, with the witch trial is always something. I mean, actually, in this season of Doctor Who, they did a similar story. So it seems to be a fair villain to go after, the witch trials. I think it was a good springboard for the rest of the season because remember, the villain in the first episode was a unicorn. The villain in the second episode was a fairy godmother. And as you stated at the beginning of the show, Michelle, it really set the tone for these magical creatures aren't necessarily going to be these big goblins and just horrible magical creatures. On the surface, they look like cuddly things, but they do some terrible things. And the team has fun fighting them. And we'll see what happens for the rest of the season. There's some interesting things that lead up to the mid-season finale. Because at this point in time, Michelle, I know you and me, that's where we're at. Because there's not going to be any new episodes for a while. But we've watched up to the mid-season finale. And I'm not sure when we'll come back to this. Because it'll have to be in an off week from Arrow. But we'll probably get to see a couple of episodes along the way of the second half of the season before we are caught up. So, well, it'll be interesting for me to go forward as we are going back to watch these episodes of Legends Tomorrow. It was just a fun episode, and I'm glad I got to watch it. By the way, last time I talked about buying the episode on Amazon Prime, season 4, episode 2, at the point that we're recording this, which is January of 2019, it is not, see, the second episode is not available on Amazon Prime. So I had to go to Vudu to get the episode. That's how I consume the episode.
Yeah, I've been having a hard time finding Legends episodes. Last season was easy. Amazon had a season pass. I just bought it and problem solved. And this season, no season pass.
So unfortunately, the CW app does the last 5 episodes, and we're beyond that. I think we're at episode 9. So if we continued to do this before they dropped any new episodes, I'd have to find 2 more episodes, which I think there are available on Vudu. So that's how I would have to do it. But that is interesting. I mean, if you want people to catch up, you have to provide it to them somehow. That's common. I don't think Vudu is common. I didn't search any further than Vudu. So if any listener out there has a legal way to see these episodes in the United States, please let me know beyond Vudu. And we'll go. I don't even think if you had a season pass with Amazon, that you'd be able to see the second episode right now.
Because it doesn't show up on their queue online. It's really weird.
Yeah. So it's kind of weird there.
I just still have them on my DVR.
Bravo. Rob, I had to clear off space, but I thought, no, I'll just go ahead and buy it. You know, throw them a bone, you know, give them a couple bucks per episode. But this is turning out to be more hassle than I thought it was going to be.
Preaching to the choir, my friend. I understand.
Well, I enjoyed it. I liked seeing Constantine come in. And we also learned that Gideon can make materials for spells. So that's another skill Gideon has.
What can't Gideon do? She's awesome.
Make another bathroom.
Or a washer and dryer. Jeez.
Well, next week we are returning to Arrow. It is My Name is Emiko Queen. It's season 7, episode 10. It will air Monday, January 21st, 2019. Oliver wants to get back to work and focus on his marriage, but Dinah wants him to track the new Green Arrow. Diggle and Lila must answer to Argus about Diaz. It's directed by Andy Armaganian, written by Benjamin Robb and Derek A. Hughes.
Live from the Starling Tribune main news desk on floor 52 of the Starling Tribune Tower, it's the weekly news roundup with chief news anchor Michelle Ealy. And now, Michelle Ealy.
Thank you, SP. First up, we have CW news about the 2019 premiere dates. First, about Legends of Tomorrow, it will actually return on April Fool's Day, which is amazing. This is Legends of Tomorrow, April Fool's. Perfect.
Is it really going to premiere on April Fool's Day, or is this just a joke that they're playing with us?
Ooh, conspiracy theory. I like it.
It's not really a joke. What is interesting is that it's going to flip time slots with Arrow. So when Legends of Tomorrow comes back in April, it will be at 8 p.m. Arrow is going to move to 9 p.m.
Has Arrow ever been at the 9 p.m. slot before on CW? I think it's always been at 8 p.m., haven't they?
Last year, it was Thursdays at 9.
Oh, okay.
And just an extra piece of news, Black Lightning finale will be Monday, March 18th. So, again, when Legends comes back April, it's going to be at 8 p.m. Flash and Supergirl are staying put.
Just double check your DVRs as you get closer to it. If you have a season pass, you should be good. But sometimes cable companies screw it up if the time changes on those season passes. So double check.
Yeah, I've seen that before, that issue before. And I think, Michelle, you've seen that before too, once or twice.
Yes, have. Also, if they change titles, like if all of a sudden they do like a little colon or something, yeah, you just got to be careful. It's why I wanted to make sure I talked about it, because it's important to keep track of when your show's on. If you watch them like I do, you know, when they're on and, or on a DVR, if you have the app, that's great. You don't need to worry about it. But for people like me, I do need to keep track of it. Next up, Chris has a very spoilery piece about the mid-season premiere. So if you really want to avoid spoilers, I know we do spoiler warnings, but this one is a pretty spoilery article. So Chris, take it away.
Yeah, so feel free to skip ahead. I don't know, what, 2-3 minutes skip ahead? You should be good then. So Beth Schwartz, we all know, is the Arrow showrunner, did an interview with Entertainment Weekly and gave some details on Emiko Queen and a new Suicide Squad. This could be interesting. According to Beth Schwartz, in the mid-season premiere, viewers will learn who Emiko's parents are. Also, the premiere will pick back up with Diggle and Lila, turning to him, rather, for help with their current Argus case. This will lead to the creation of what is essentially a new Suicide Squad called Ghost Initiative. This will include China White, Slade's son, Kane Wolfman, and Carrie Cutter, and will be introduced in the following episode. So guys, we can't have the real Suicide Squad, but we can have sort of the Suicide Squad.
All right. On one hand, I have to applaud Beth Schwartz for trying to bring something back to the show that really made the show work. And they do have characters to throw into it. On the other hand, this is something that they've gone through before, kind of put to bed. There was the whole movie fiasco that happened. Don't get me started on that, guys. And now they're trying to bring it back. Okay, I realize that the Suicide Squad is never static and that it does change personnel along the way in the comics, but And the last season to do this, I don't know. Okay. Perceived last season, my perception last season. Who knows? Maybe we'll get another season or two out of this. Who knows? We could get 12 seasons. I mean, it looks Supernatural. What are they on? 15 seasons? So I could be wrong.
And they're calling it something new, something that the powers that be can't take away. And, you know, we had Bronze Tiger in the prison storyline. This could be another way to bring him back.
That's true, too, because there was the whole redemption arc.
I'd like to see him come back. For them just to leave that character at that point in his redemption arc or his story this season, yeah, this will be good to bring him. Maybe you're absolutely right. Maybe they're throwing this preview out and they're just not saying that Bronze Tiger is being part of it. So that would make the whole thing worth it for me to bring him back.
Because I'm thinking this is going to be Ghost Initiative versus Longbow Hunters.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Longbow Hunter's back too.
And earlier we reported that Joe West, Jesse L. Martin, was on medical leave, but he is going to be back by episode 15. And in the mid-season premiere, they actually explained his absence, saying that he took his daughter Jenna to visit Wally. So we actually had a Wally mention in the mid-season premiere flash. That was good to hear. It was like they haven't forgotten about him.
And it would make sense, too. I just caught portions of the mid-season premiere of Flash, but I won't give any of the story away. But there's events that occur that make sense that Jesse would have to take his daughter, Jenna, away, or at least care for her. So nothing bad. It's just I get the storyline there.
Yeah, it'll be great to see him again. So again, he's going to be back by episode 15.
Thank you for not killing him off, especially off screen. That would have pissed me off.
Ditto. Well, that is all we have for the news. Now, the Starlight Tribune is part of a larger podcasting network, the GoingToGeek.com network. And Chris, there are other shows in the network as well.
That's right, Michelle. We've got 25 plus different shows in the network. I mention this every week, but really, we do cover a variety of topics, be it geek culture, video gaming, tabletop gaming, specific television shows. We probably have a little bit of everything, whatever your tastes are. So really, head on over to GoingToGeek.com, check those things out. I can't tell you about every show on the network, but what I can do is give you a taste of another show and say, hey, you might want to go check this one out. And this week, we're talking about episode 343 of the All Things Good and Nerdy podcast entitled, This is All Elite. The boys are back this week to run down the latest geeky happenings. Anthony has all the details on the rumored Lady Sif show coming to Disney+. Willie recaps the rumored cancellation of the remaining X-Men movies, and Chris, that's me, is returning to the pro wrestling fandom with the new launch of All Elite Wrestling. Yeah, I'm kind of geeking out about a new wrestling promotion out there, but if you want to find out more about that and any of the things I just talked about, go check out episode 343 of the All Things Good and Nerdy podcast. Just head on over to GoingToGeek.com, click on the network button, and you can find ATGN and all the other shows on the network there.
I can't wait to listen to it because I haven't had a chance to listen to your podcast this week. It's just been a really work intensive week for me, but I can't wait to listen, especially Willie's recap of the rumored cancellation of the remaining X-Men movies. We've been thinking about what's going to happen with the X-Men series, of course, with the Disney Fox merger or buyout, whatever you want to call that. So this would be excellent for me to listen to, especially before we record Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Sunday.
That is a good point. So, yeah, guys, go check that out. Go check out all the other great shows on the network. But all that being said, looking at the time, it is time for us to begin wrapping up this installment of the Starling Tribune. So a big thank you to all of the live viewers that participated over in the chat room at Geeks.Live, but also thank you to everyone who downloads the audio episode from our site, starlingtribune.com, or those of you that are checking out the video replay over at youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
If you happen to have one of those small little personal assistant Amazon devices, you can actually enable our podcast as a skill. Yes, we have our very own skill. Now, also, we have a Discord server, which you can find at www.gunnageek.com/discord. It'll give you an automatic invite to go in there, and we can talk to you all about the Arrowverse on the Starling Tribune channel. Remember, you can always catch us live as we record on Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific on www.geeks.live.
We would love to hear from you. We're the Starlight Tribune on Facebook and Instagram. at Starting to Moon on Twitter, and you can call us at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. Well, this brings us to the end of another great episode. Any last words before we sign off? At Stargate Pioneer.
Hashtag glass slipper blisters.
At the Chris Farrell.
Hashtag a unicorn ate my nipple.
And I am at Michelle Ely, signing off with hashtag that art degree finally paid off. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at gunnageek.com or check out our archive at starlingtribune.com. Visit gunnageek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.